This is Two Blokes Talking Electric Cars with Stephen Fenwick and Trevor Long. Thanks to NRMA Insurance and Uniden.
That's right, Trevor Long, Stephen Fenwick here for another episode of Two Blokes Talking Electric Cars, the podcast proudly brought to you by NRMA Insurance, helping over 3 million people across Australia protect the things they care about. And Uniden Smart Dash Cams awarded Best Dash Cam by Canstar Blue across all categories. 5 stars, Stephen. Good day to you.
Good day there, Trevor. How's it going?
It's going
How's
very
your
well.
EV driving going?
I just love it.
Yeah.
It's
likewise.
Funny, you know, because a lot of the we talked previously about the questions people ask, but it is amazing how much of a conversation point it is, no matter whether you're driving your own car or a press car or whatever it is. And, you know, the kind of doubts that people have and the way you kind of every day we're dispelling myths to people.
Yeah. I don't mean to blow our own trumpets, but people see you and me driving EVs pretty confidently, and I think that dispels some of their fears. Yeah. Like, it's like, you know, like people look at us with our tech hats on, they look at us and see what we use and what we recommend in our reviews, and they are confident enough to follow us in with those recommendations. Yeah. And I do feel that the more people are talking about, listening to this show and talking to us, I think the more peace of mind they have about the decision of maybe making the move.
Oh, I had the EV9 on loan again last weekend, took it up to Mum's, and it was parked out
the
front.
Is this the car you've just already purchased, Mum?
Yeah, I've just purchased it.
Preview of the actual car you're going
to
receive.
I was so excited to drive my own car, which has arrived, but I don't get it for a week or so. I took a press car again. I took it up to Mum's, and we had a big barbecue to close the pub. And it was parked out the front, and I was doing a sausage sizzle, so a lot of people asking me about it. And it was kind of fascinating.
Kia,
because
you're going to get an invoice.
Well, let's be clear. Country people have very clear, different opinions
absolutely.
Than city people.
Yeah, right.
And so there's a lot of that. Like a lot of people who would ask me about EVs, I just say to them, oh, no, probably not for you right now. Because I'd look and they're driving a Toyota Land Cruiser Ute or something. And I'm like, it's just not an option for you yet. But then they'd say, well, how'd you get up here? I'm like, well, I just drove here. That's just like any other thing. But it got me thinking about the whole trip again. And I don't need to go through the trip and the charging because it's pretty much the same as what I did a few weeks ago. And I talked about that. But there was a couple of things that struck me about where we are at with the charging networks and, frankly, how important that is to this whole transition. A transition, to be clear, I don't care whether it's 100% transmission or 30% transition. It's a transition of a large number of people to a different form of filling. And, you know, I acknowledged, I think, last episode or the one before that the number one selling point of Tesla, if you need to do road trips, because if you don't, then this is not a selling point, is the chargers. Their charging network
is the sheer number of them. Yeah.
Exceptional.
Yeah.
I reckon I've been saying for 5 or maybe 10 years that if I was Shell or BP or, you know, global oil, petrol station companies, I'd be on the phone to Elon saying, how much do you want for it? I want to buy the network. I think it's Elon Musk's most valuable asset.
I agree. Yeah. And now that it's opened up to other vehicles, like in the last 12 months, it's I think that's giving, again, more peace of mind to non-Tesla drivers as well.
And the number one thing, if you want to know why the Tesla network is the best, firstly, it's because it's been here the longest, so they've been at it longer. But from day one, they built a network that was not just in a lot of places, but big in a lot of places.
Yeah.
And I think Goulburn's a great example. On the Hume Highway between Sydney and Melbourne, you stop at Goulburn and it's not like on the main strip, but it's next to a park and it's a block from, you know, the Paragon. There's a lot of great cafes and things around there. But there's got to be, off the top of my head, 6 if not 10 chargers there. And there has been for five to 10 years.
That's Tesla's foresight, isn't it? They've sort of looked at the long-term plan here. They haven't just put one there or two. They're thinking, well, one day there's going to be 8 people going to want to charge at the same time.
And you know what it is? It's the startup mentality.
Yeah.
A startup is losing money. Startups are happy to lose money.
Yeah.
You remember when Uber floated on the stock exchange? Yeah. Their IPO actually said, we have no intention of making profit. It's like, what? So you look at a Tesla and you go, they are throwing money at something that they know is important and they're happy to lose money on it if it means that they've got the best and it will entice people to buy their vehicles. And at the end of this show, we'll talk about sales numbers, and it's continuing to be the case that Tesla's selling in big numbers.
Definitely.
But the stark realization came to me on the way back from Mum's. Now, Mum's at Walker Road, and if you drive the the mountain way back, and I've never done it in an EV because I'm scared. There's no charger between Mums and Newcastle, right?
Oh, right. Okay.
So I don't know what the hills are going to be like, you know.
How
so
far is that?
It's actually only like 250 Ks.
Right.
So I should never have been worried. I just, in my head, didn't want to, right?
Yep.
But NRMA, ChargeFox, NRMA has built a charger, two chargers at Walker.
Yep.
Little town, I don't know, a couple of thousand people, 50 minutes an hour from Tamworth. And on the Oxley Highway between the New England Highway and the Pacific Highway on the way down to Wauchope and Port Macquarie. So I thought, I'll stop there. This is a cool, brand new one, right? Like, yep. I've got photos of cars at chargers everywhere. Mm-hmm. I love looking at them, right? Yep. I didn't need charge. I had like 70% when I got there, so there was no way I was staying long. But I drove down the main street, and I think any Aussie who's driven to country towns knows what I'm talking about here. Main street of country town, big wide road.
Yeah.
Cars parked perpendicular all the way down, yep. Shops, probably even a middle aisle with, you know, trees, big open main street.
Yep.
And I imagined in my head, having driven through this town many times, there's this big roundabout, then there's the main shops, and then there's kind of a second half to the block, which is not many shops, but there's a big park and an info centre and stuff. It'll be there. It'll be there. So I'm driving down. Oh, it's not here. Interesting. I didn't actually look it up, so I quickly looked up. Lucky I had 4G there. I looked it up. Oh, okay. There's an NRMA office right around the corner. I think it's the Motoring and Services NRMA. It's not there either. So I look at the map. It's two blocks up and back.
Right.
And it's on this just a side street, like a residential street, which on one side of the street there's a big Telstra Exchange. Oh. You know, those big buildings that exist in towns where all the phone lines come in. And there's these two chargers out the front. Now, you know, NRMA Motoring and Services, you know, who run the roadside assist and all that, they also run this charging network. And they're also a part owner with the RACV and RACQ and whatnot in ChargeFox. They all own that together. So I plugged in, I charged, it worked, whatever. And I thought to myself, man.
Why is it here? Why is it off the beaten
now,
track?
Yeah. Okay, I can walk two blocks to a shop. But if you're an EV owner, why wouldn't it be built with the same things that we built around petrol pumps, and that is shops or fast food or whatever it might be?
Is it a concern that it might cause like traffic or something? Like, because there'll be maybe cars waiting to charge, cars in the spots, cars waiting to charge. Is it a concern, the congestion maybe? Or
that's why I wouldn't put it next to the IGA in Walker.
Yeah, of course.
But, you know, there's plenty of blocks along the main drag where it could have been put.
Because I think the petrol station setup is an interesting one, because there are the bays where you're actually pumping the petrol, but there's a lot of parking spots around it.
Correct.
So why that thought might have to be considered, you reckon, for charging locations?
And one of the things that got me really riled up about this, and if you want to Google this, folks, have a look at it. I saw it online. I might have seen a YouTube video about it, and it's at the Gatwick Airport, I assume. But anyway, London Gatwick Electric Forecourt. Now, I'll just show you, Stephen, a photo. I'll try and remember in the edit of the video to put a photo up, okay? Plenty of people bag me for not putting any photos up on the video. But it's going to require me to remember it. So anyway, so this building has been built. And underneath this building, so two-story building, think about like a Queenslander, right? For a flood, it's on stilts.
Yep.
But underneath, so the ground level is 20, maybe, chargers, right? So it's just parking lots.
Yep.
And then there's a building above it, which is a lounge. There's a coffee shop in there. There's, you know, somewhere to sit and relax. There's probably bathrooms.
Yep.
I think there's a display of a, you know, BMW car there. You know, it's a place.
Makes sense. Yeah.
Because you're going to be there for 20 minutes, maybe an hour.
Yeah.
Why would I be on a side street for 20 minutes or an hour?
Well, I think this is a real opportunity for investors, government, to think about, like, you know how there's town planners?
Yeah.
There's people in, you know, the councils and
governments. That's a job. My uncle used to be a town planner for Penrith.
So a town planner might be looking, I don't know, in the crystal ball, say 20 years into the future, where there's going to be a lot more EVs.
Mm.
How, like, that would be perfect to accommodate. And that doesn't take up a whole great area.
Nope.
It's just if you've got a parking spaces is all you need.
Yeah.
Obviously, you need to have the supply for the power.
And obviously, that's a whole other thing. Yeah. And I get that
these are factors that we're not experts in. But
understand.
Yeah. I think that if you can do the math and get those things to work out, then you could easily plan for the deployment of these in appropriate areas.
Here's my thing. I wish I was a multi-billionaire, because this is what I would invest in.
You're
this.
Not? Is it?
No, I'm not. I reckon if you had a 20-year vision, and I genuinely mean it's got to be a 20-year vision.
Yeah.
If you had a 20-year vision for investment and you put enough into it and you built it well, you are the new Shell, you are the new BP, totally. You are the new destination. Well, because Shell and BP and Ampol, the ones they're building, it's good. You know, I stopped at BP at Heatherbrae, one charger.
Oh.
But there's a Guzmany Gomez, a KFC, and a Heatherbrae Pies. It's a great place to stop because there's somewhere to have dinner.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Like, it's unbelievable. Yeah, but I think there's only one charger.
The person, this billionaire that you're talking about, needs to have a vision. They've got to, I think, make it like the plan has to be that the level of EV ownership is like 40%.
Yeah,
that they've got to have that go big or go home attitude to sort of just, because you know what, in the near future, what you think is enough might not be enough,
and that's
because that's the problem we're facing.
That's proven by Tesla, because even Tesla now faces this problem in the holiday times.
Yeah, well, I remember you mentioned Tesla. I remember you driving a Tesla in 2019 in California, and there was a Tesla. There was a charging spot at the back of a big shopping center in Orange County, and there were 20 chargers, all full, and people waiting. This is 5 years ago. So I think that this having one charger, I think, is a bit too conservative. Mm. I think you got to look at 10, 20.
Yeah.
And you'll find that that'll pay itself off in future and give plenty of people plenty of room to charge.
I did a TikTok, maybe an Instagram, on the way to Vegas at Barstow, where there are 70 Tesla superchargers. Wow. And 70 there's construction in one area. For more.
Wow.
And there's like six others from another brand, like Electrify America. Wow. Yeah. And it's like, guys, what are you doing 6 for when they're doing 70?
Yeah. I remember, do you remember the, when we go to WWDC and the Westfield at Valley Fair? Yep. There is a section out the back, its own car park full of EV. Right. There's like 20 chargers. It's got its own parking lot, and every one of them was occupied.
At present, the biggest Tesla supercharger site is in Coalinga in California, which has 98 individual charging stalls.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is that in? That must be like a hub, like a I don't know, man. Pass on. Is it on Route 66 or something like that?
I don't know. But that's the vision. So we, the two blokes, are calling for
Come on.
Someone to write a
Come
check.
Come at us.
I will run the. I will quit my job and run the business. I will. Mate, I would.
Really?
I would go all in on this.
Job offer on the table, is there?
I would go all in on this. I'm not cheap. Just saying that. But mate, this would be.
Do you require executive assistance?
This is building a legacy for someone.
I think all these
billionaires that are spending money on solar and all that.
Yeah.
The problem is this doesn't generate the short term revenue, and it's short term losses.
Okay, but let
it's
me
probably
just
five
play,
10 years of losses.
Can I play devil's advocate here now?
Yeah.
The narcs of the world are going to say, Trev, where are you going to get the power from?
That's fine. That's
okay. So power, you'd have to be thinking laterally here. So you'd have solar. I know a lot of Tesla charging places in America have got panels that harvest the sun and help power the chargers.
They absolutely do. But so, also, every one of these sites needs infrastructure upgrades. But the government needs to upgrade that infrastructure. Governments have committed to that as
that's
well.
That's what the smarty pantsers are saying. Oh, these blokes are calling for to put 100 chargers in. Where are you going to get the power from?
Here's what I'm going to say. We're making a commitment to it. We've got a lot of great chats coming up on the show.
Yeah.
We're going to reach out to Chris Bowen, the minister.
Chris Bowen, the minister.
The minister for the environment, I think. Energy and the environment, federally. Because here's my question to Chris Bowen. And in advance, I'll give you the question.
Yeah.
Why are we funding companies like EV networks and all those people, which are great? They're all great networks. But why are we allowing them to put one charger in or two chargers in? There should be absolute minimum
spend, mate. Because you go into a bar, you got like three drink minimum. I think that's got to be the policy, three charger minimum.
If there's government investment involved, it's not good enough to say we tick the box and have chargers every 200 kilometres. Yeah. That's not good enough.
Yeah.
Because on the New England Highway, between Newcastle and Tamworth, there is literally one charger, one stall but from a non-Tesla network.
Yeah.
So there's
not
work
enough
to be done.
And we saw the there were some images shared, I think, a couple of Christmases ago where there were people waiting big long lines for a single charger and these remote charging like on key highways. You don't want to see that. That in itself is going to put people off buying an EV.
Mate, if you want
in one go.
I'll give you the best put off right now is have a look at carexpert.com.au. Paul Marrick did a YouTube video in the US driving a Rivian, just wanted to check out a bunch of chargers.
Yeah.
5 o'clock in the afternoon, queue of six cars to get to 20 different chargers.
Oh, really?
And at 11 p.m., even worse. Like, wow. Literally couldn't get to one.
Unbelievable.
Like, there's big dramas. Yeah. And it's not just here, it's there. So,
yeah,
a lot of work to do. I just think that's a topic that we must explore and we have to continue. And we will do that here on Two Blokes Talking Electric Cars. All right, now, Stephen, one of the things that we really want to do here on this show, Two Blokes Talking Electric Cars, is try and understand the full breadths of not just the excitement of EVs, but also the issue with EVs. Now, one of the things that I have heard a lot about, and I've got a mate who works in the New South Wales Department of Planning, government regulations around new buildings and things like that. And one of the things we also hear about is where to charge when you live in apartments. And there's so many issues. So we've actually got someone on the line to talk about a lot of those things when it comes to strata owners,
yeah.
People who are living in, you know, whether it's a bunch of townhouses or yeah. apartments, whatever it might be in your strata, and how the EV and the infrastructure issues around apartments is going to play out, and the kind of issues you're seeing right now. And that man is Fred Tuckwell, the chair of OCN, the Independent Voice of Strata Owners. He's on the line. G'day. G'day, Fred.
Hey, how are you this afternoon?
Really good, mate.
Fred, so thanks for joining us. I think a barrier to entry for a lot of potential EV drivers is that they don't have off street parking.
Mm.
They live in apartment buildings and there's no real place to charge. Are you finding that this is an issue that's brought up in strata meetings around the country?
Well, there's a couple of points there. In terms of if they don't have any off-street parking, there is a solution to that, and a number of owners' corporations are establishing what we call charging on common property, which is shared property for car parks. Some councils have an issue with that, but that is one particular specific approach to that. But the issue of EV charging in apartment buildings is bigger than that. And, you know, there's a whole bunch of stuff. And it's often easy to start with, you know, what's preventing EV charging in a building. And I hear a lot of people concerned about fire. You know, fire is preventing EV charging in buildings. Well, the facts don't support that. The facts are that electric vehicles are not as prone to fire as petrol and diesel building vehicles are.
Mm.
And, you know, a petrol or diesel vehicle is 10 times more likely to catch fire than one electric vehicle is.
Mm.
So we don't hear anybody saying, well, I can't park a petrol vehicle in there. And they also get some sayers of doom, say, well, the building's going to fall down. Structural load's not enough because EVs are heavy. Well, that's not the case either, because, you know, if you have a look at the biggest selling dual cabs and SUVs around Australia, all of them are heavier than EVs. So that's another fib. And then there's also range anxiety. Well, that's some ways true. You know, there's a little bit of issue with range anxiety, which is why we want to have people charge at home.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the government incentives and, you know, the government providing and NRMA are providing far more infrastructure. So the real issue is FUD, fear, uncertainty and doubt. And people just don't know enough, need a little bit more education, need some incentive to get the push to go down the path of allowing EV charging.
So is it the case that a strata meeting, and I was in a strata before we moved into our current house, and you know, I went to the meetings often and then I started going, this is just, I don't want to be involved in this anymore, it's just people arguing about nothing. But is it the case that often those meetings are, you know, someone who's just bought an EV and they're asking the question of their strata, you know, what can we do? And they're all like, well, we don't know. They're throwing their hands up in the air. Is that where you come in? They come to you for that kind of advice and feedback around their particular circumstance?
We try to go a little bit broader than that. The new government asked the same question. So we've provided a set of documentation which is available on the New South Wales government website called Making Residential Buildings EV Ready. And there's a whole lot of stuff in there. You know, it talks about the various steps on how to get there, how to work your way through approval processes, you know, some help with bylaws and how to go about getting funding. Mm. So there's a whole lot of questions that are raised, but there is material out there that'll help support people get, you know, to the end of getting an electric vehicle charged.
So it's not just like, I think there's a misconception though, isn't there, Fred, that not every apartment building's a high rise with 100 units in it. So it's mainly sort of three level, sort of 10 apartments a building that are facing these issues and they're trying to look for a resolution. Is that right?
That's absolutely right. And one of the real big catch cries we have is that one size does not fit all.
Yeah.
And you know what? Like buildings up to 10 apartments, if you have a look at all of the schemes in New South Wales, and there's 90,000 strata schemes in New South Wales, 75% are up to 10 apartments, 24% are between 10 and 11 and 99, and then it's just 1% of the big boys, you know, 100 apartments. And people tend to think, oh, we're going to have to put a huge infrastructure in place and it's hundreds of thousands of dollars to do that. Well, no, that's not the case. We've come up with five different alternatives for how you could go about doing this, and those alternatives just fit differently into different sized buildings.
You mentioned at the start, charging on common ground, which I imagine as being a small or large set of apartments, and there's those visitor spaces. You'd call that kind of common ground. You mentioned councils often objecting to that. On what grounds would a council have a concern with, electric charging in a common area?
Sometimes it is a condition of the DA, the original DA of the building, but these parking spaces, the common property parking spaces, are assigned for visitor parking. They're often always got visitor parking. So there's a DA restriction there for visitors. You can't use them for lot owners, but we are working with the more energetic councils, Randwick and City of City, to try to have those things changed. It's a serious issue for them because it's a change in the DA arrangements for a whole bunch of buildings.
Yeah. Say, Fred, I've got an apartment and I've got my own parking space. How hard would it be for me to get to say to Strata, look, I'd like to put a charger in my parking space in my apartment? Is that hard to do? Depends on the strata. Difficult? What's the scenario?
Yes, all of that. It's not easy, but it is in some areas. we sort of think about it from two perspectives. Describe you as an owner. You want to come into the owner's corporation and say, I want an EV charge. Now, a number of the strata committees might say, yeah, that's a great idea. We want to go in that direction. So we're set to go down the path. Right. You're the first one. Yeah, let's get into it. And then you've got the sayers of doom again who, oh, no, this is never going to happen. It's going to be too hard. We might wait for another government to get in and this is all, it'll all disappear. And, we won't have to worry about this in the future. So it depends on, the attitude and the fear, uncertainty of doubt of the owner's corporation. But in the process of working with government to establish a notion, and they do it in Canada and other places around the world, it's called right to charge. And if you meet a certain set of criteria, which are, a reasonable set of criteria which we would work on with the government, and if you meet those criteria, the owner's corporation cannot say no. So it's sort of like, right to charge. Yeah, we like it too. And, if you think about, I don't know if you've been involved in strata. I don't think anybody could have avoided the stuff with pets that was brought up just recently, and the bylaws and all those rules were changed. So you can't say no to pets. We're saying you can't say no to charging vehicles.
Oh, wow. Interesting. Good news.
So,
that's just one of the things we're working on. And by the way, if your listeners want to join OCN, they can get this and a whole lot more.
Very good. We'll encourage that. One of the things that I feel like we're talking about here, in my mind's eye, we're talking about old apartments. Is there regulation or documentation or advice being given to developers for new? And again, we're talking small blocks of apartments and large, because obviously EVs are selling in greater numbers and that's going to grow. Governments are pushing for greater development and, population increase, stuff like that. So what's happening with new apartments and Are EVs being accommodated?
Yes, they are. One of the first things I did when I first started with OCN was got on a group which was talking about the Australian standards for electric vehicle charging in new buildings. It was the Australian Industry Group. And happy to say that one of the lead players there, his name is Ross Durango, he's now on the EV Council, has been very successful in getting the national design standards up to scratch and advocating for the changes to the building code to make that happen. And the governments are starting to adopt that. So it definitely works in progress, but, you know, it's a few years off before it's going to actually happen. And there's arguments. You get down to the poor old fire thing. You know, the fireys were saying in the first instance, well, you can't have 100% of car spaces assigned to EVs. We want it to be 25%. We went, well, nonsense. There's no evidence that there's any risk of serious fire with EVs, no more than anything else. So why would you put this stupid condition on?
And let's play devil's advocate on that, because one of the risks with an EV fire that we hear a lot is not the number of fires. Forget how many fires there are, but when there is a fire, the intensity of that fire and the thermal runaway that occurs is more dangerous, more damaging. So have you got any evidence to support the lack of concern that you have around that?
Yeah, there is a study. I haven't got a link in my head, but it was a US study by a university where they went through four different scenarios and found that the fire spread in an enclosed space was very similar between an EV and an ICE or a petrol diesel vehicle. So there have been studies that sort of disprove that.
Yep.
And in Australia, there's just been six EVs. One of them was caused by debris, one of them was caused by arson, another one was caused by something else, an accident, and then there's three others that were caught up in a building fire. Mm. All of those were extinguished using standard, you know, it takes a little bit longer.
Interesting.
But they're all extinguished using water and fireys. So, you know, again, it's FUD stuff. And, you know, I'm not dismissing the risk of an EV fire. You want to look seriously at the risk of EV fire. As not, you don't look at EVs. You look at what we call PMDs or e-scooters. That's where the risk is. Yeah. And you know, there's a serious risk with those things, particularly the imports. There's no regulations. There's no standards on those cheap imports.
Spot on. I mean, that's the biggest concern we've got right now isn't motor cars and lithium batteries in vehicles. It's lithium batteries in e-scooters and e-bikes and chargers that are bought from overseas. Yeah. There's a whole range of issues. It's not about electric cars. It's kind of fascinating. I'll be honest with you. I didn't expect the position that you have. I think it's fantastic support that you're able to give to owners. And I'm disappointed that when I was a member of Strata, I didn't know that the OCN existed. I'll be honest with you, Fred. OCN.org.au. OCN.org.au.
That's it.
And like we're talking, it's like $66 a year to be a member. So as an individual, it gives you that. I assume it gives you a bit of information, gives you resources, something to help you, you know, fight or argue or converse with your strata, as the case may be.
And all of this, all of the stuff we're talking about, you know, there's fact sheets to help you work your way through it, there's forms to help you apply for it, there's bylaws if you want to, you know, go through that process of the formal approval through the strata thing. So there's a whole bunch of resources available.
Excellent. Good on you. Thanks a lot, Fred. Been great to chat to you, mate. Very informative. Appreciate your time.
All the best. Have a good afternoon.
Thanks, Bye. Fred.
Two Blokes Talking Electric Cars is proudly supported by Uniden, and they've just released the Uniden Dash View 60 Plus. This is their first 5K resolution dash cam. 5K, even more detail, 150-degree wide-angle front-facing camera as well. It's got the Sony Starvis sensor. That means a lot because It works well during the day, during the night, all types of lighting conditions. That's the whole idea of having a dash cam, so I can record everything that happens on the road, and now in 5K resolution. So check that out, the Dash View range. There are others. There's also the iGo Cam range as well. Uniden has got you covered on the road for all your dash cam needs.
All right, Stephen, as we quickly wrap up, as the show is just getting away from us, quick look, because we did it last month, and I'm happy to do this every month if I remember.
Yes.
The electric vehicle sales for February 2024, for those people that are listening in 2025, welcome. You've got a bit of catching up to do, but let's go through February 2024. 9.6% share electric vehicles, which is a new...
Of cars sold in February.
That's correct.
Right.
Which is a new record, I believe, because it was 8.
So that's not the percentage of cars that are, you know, the whole country. So EV penetration, is it 10%?
No.
It's still very low.
No, it's very low.
For
this is
month,
just of new
this
cars.
Is for the month, right.
The previous record was 8.8% last June.
Yep.
Tesla, out in front, because have you noticed? I see them everywhere. The
Model
3 Highland,
the Highlander. Yeah,
I see them all the time.
Yeah, they're nice.
They really do stand out.
So I've reviewed that.
3,593 sales in February. Model Y, 2,072. And I think that'll continue to dip off as we get towards a Juniper update for that.
Oh, that could be similar. I was going to ask. What do they call that? Juniper.
I think it's Juniper.
So what was it? Highland, the other one?
Highland, Juniper. I think that's what it is.
Who
anyway.
Comes up with these names?
BYD Atto 3, the third best at 711 sales. BYD Seal with 619. The MG4 is going really well for MG. 446.
Yep. Good on them.
The BYD Dolphin, 216. The Kia EV6, which Stephen is driving right now and we'll talk about in the weeks ahead, 192, which is good numbers.
Not bad.
The Volvo XC40 Recharge.
Hello.
Stephen's
they must have
having
heard
an influence.
They must have heard the last episode. Was it last week we talked about
143 sales. This is a sleeper. I really hope we can get into this at some point. The BMW i4. Sleeper because it looks just like any other great BMW sedan, but it's fully electric, 128. And the Polestar
Trevor,
2.
Trevor will get that. Trevor's a former BMW.
With 113 sales.
Sorry, what was the last one?
10th. Polestar 2.
Polestar, nice.
I can tell you the Cooper Born sold, I think it was 69.
And the EQE 350 sold maybe two.
Two or three. And there's a grand total of like 80 EV9s in Australia right now.
And one of them is owned by T Long.
Well, no, it hasn't been delivered. That'll be in the March numbers. When we get to the March numbers, I'll be highlighting my own personal purchase.
There you go. Trevor's followed it from the factory to the ship to the showroom. Is that right, mate?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
It'll
That's
be here.
How nerdy we are.
Hopefully next week. Aaron, get back to work.
Yeah.
He's on paternity leave. Mate, the baby's fine. Get back to work. Give me my car. All right, that's Two Blokes Talking Tech for the week. We're back again next week with another great show.
Two Blokes Talking Electric Cars,
Two Blokes Talking Electric Cars. Yeah,
get
that's
the
us.
Show right, mate. Come on.
It's Two Blokes Talking Electric Cars. Tune into Two Blokes Talking Tech, our other podcast, which we've been doing for 13 years.
Yeah.
Talking Tech, which is why my vocal crunch is to say Two Blokes Talking Tech. Anyway, thanks to NRMA Insurance and Uniden Smart Dashcam. Stephen, see you next week.
See you then, buddy.